combined impact of those cities, not only on the economy but also on the services going forward. It's an important part of the reason why we interact with them. But as an oversight committee, the manner they use the, I know the CEO will say, limited resources they get from the department, it's still very important, however small the amount is. So we do want to get a sense of some of the key things they've been doing, how they are faring from a that perspective. So with those few words, welcome Ntate Sithole Mbanga, the CEO of the Cities Network. Over to you, sir. We, after he speaks, we will then look at the draft report. Budget review recommendation report. It's a draft. We will look at it, discuss it, and then make a decision about how we proceed forward with that report. So, any issue that, before I proceed, we have apologies, three, I believe. Who else has apologized? Any apologies that we need to note?
Who are the three people who apologized?
Sorry? Adrian Williams and who? That's an alternate. Yeah, we must talk to him to abandon that Auditor General's thing. We can serve them better here than there. Okay, we'll accept those apologies. Okay, let's start. Mr. Mbanga, please proceed.
Sir, thank you very, very much to yourself and the committee. So I'm saying this is, it's an important opportunity for a program such as the South African Cities Network to, from time to time, be able to come to the House and be able to express what it is that it is doing. I think particularly for purposes of giving an update, but I think also to always remind us as part and parcel of the policy-making machinery what the Cities Network is and what it is not. So in the invitation letter that we received last week, it seemed to suggest that we are here to talk more to the financials of the Cities Network. But in the process last night, I thought, no, actually, I might just be missing the point. I mean, I think let's more speak contextually about what it is that we are currently doing as the Cities Network. Let me start there. In the folder that we have distributed, there will be three pieces of paper. The other one, thicker, is in a folder that has the logo of the Cities Network outside of it. The first one is an annual financial statement, which has not yet been adopted by the board of the Cities Network. It will adopt it on the 4th of November, so it's all in draft. But we thought we have behaved very well generally, so we are not shy of distributing it before it's approved. The second one is entitled Annual Performance Report, July 2010 to 30th September 2010. But when I take you through it, you'll notice that inside it actually is as far back as 2003. Everything else that the Cities Network has done. The third one pager is a reflection of who is currently composing the governance structure of the South African Cities Network. And I thought I should bring that here because I want to be able to speak to it. It's not about who, it's about the effect that the political climate has had on the governance of the Cities Network and how we hope to be able to mitigate that in the next phase. So there it is. The Cities Network was established in the year 2002. If I may say, I'm going to take a position where I'm more in conversation with you rather than briefing. And in the white paper on local government, one of the issues that is referred to is the need for municipalities to use knowledge and knowledge sharing as a way of transforming themselves. So what happened was that between 1999 and the year 2001, a group of us that were working in the local government transformation program were tasked with focusing on this notion of knowledge management. And out of that came a suggestion that we should have what we called three chambers, one for district municipalities, one for local municipalities, and the other for what was to be metropolitan municipalities. And the South African Cities Network was what was initially conceptualized as that chamber that was going to look at metropolitan governance. And then it has moved on and it has grown since 2002 when it was established by the then Minister of Provincial and Local Government. And subsequently we have changed board membership from time to time. But the long and short of this, what the Cities Network is, we call it a knowledge sharing program because that's how it was conceptualized. It was never conceptualized to be an organization or an independent entity. It was more a joint program of government to understand what was happening in the urban space. And I'm specifically saying in the urban space because from time to time, since establishment up to now, we get to be asked, what about the rural? It's almost like we're ignoring the rural, and that's not true. But I suspect I will be able to demonstrate. But we were clearly tasked to look at urban South Africa, and that remains our agenda. So in everything else that we do, we tend to have an urban a bias. When we started to do our work, we were not as scientific as we are, I suspect, now, where we are now able to talk about the city regions. We now refer to, for instance, the Gauteng city region, the Cape Town functional area, the Ethekwini city region, the Nelson Mandela city region, and the rest of South Africa. But it's part and parcel of the knowledge that we managed to develop in trying to understand and bring into effect what COCTA today calls a differentiated approach to supporting local government. I suspect we started that process of trying to differentiate between these various spaces as far back as 2003, 2004, when we were talking about how it is that we will need to understand the trends and analyze them in order that we feed the policy making machinery. So we operate as a not-for-profit entity precisely because we hold resources that kindly through yourselves and COCTA we have to be accountable for. And so we had to have a board of directors. And that board of directors are all the mayors from these 9 member municipalities of the Cities Network and their respective city managers. And obviously, we do not dictate how each of these individual cities must make a nomination. So there they are. It's COCTA on the whole as the parent entity. COCTA and SALGA are the parent entities that gave birth to the South African Cities Network. And the municipalities of Buffalo City, Cape Town, Ekurhuleni, Ethekwini, Johannesburg, Mangaung, Msunduzi, Nelson Mandela, and Tshwane came together and said, we will form this board that will drive this chamber of knowledge sharing for your bigger municipalities. We operate, I think as the chairperson has already alluded, a very small secretariat. Most people, when they talk of the Cities Network, they think we're a very humongous organization. In fact, since we were established 8 years ago, we've never been a secretariat of more than 8 people. So we are very lean. We utilize the resources that come from the municipalities in the form of a subscription, very minimal subscription, and COCTA. And part and parcel of our resources is from donor organizations. But we operate very meanly. And the way we operate is that for each and every subject matter that we get to be asked by the board to investigate, we constitute a small team of city-based or municipal-based practitioners to investigate that particular subject matter. So say, for instance, as I will put it now as a way of example, one of the things that all these municipalities are concerned about is their state of finances. And I think you have a report in front of you, which is a 2-year-old report already that looks at. But we will take and put together all the chief financial officers and everyone that works in the space of municipal finance and start to unpack what it is that your mayors and your city managers are concerned with and begin to answer that question with the intention expressly of ensuring that we answer those questions that they are concerned with and then begin to be able to unpack whatever trends and analyze those particular trends. Currently, the board of the Cities Network is led by Deputy Minister Karen. We do not have a vice chairperson. And I think, as you can see, the names of the directors are, I think, the second column, myself, the mayor of Ekurhuleni, Mayor Mekhwe, Councillor Matsidiso from the city of Johannesburg, but Johannesburg does not have an alternate. Ahmad Ibrahim, the city manager of Cape Town, Councillor Faku, the executive mayor of Buffalo City, John Graham Richards, who used to be the city manager in Nelson Mandela Metro, but since he left that position, Nelson Mandela Metropolitan has not yet given us a name, and that's almost a year now, I think, to date. Similarly, in Mangaung, since development there, we still do not have a director from there, but we still have an alternate, who is Councillor Makanya. The mayor of Umsunduzi, Zanele Sajwaya, was also a member alongside Councillor Ngubane, but they have since left. There's a new, as you would be aware, there's a new council that has been put in place, and there's an interim management structure. So though that particular municipality is not represented on the board. Etegwini, Mike Sutcliffe, and Sipho Qelen, Tswane, there's another vacancy that's there. Salga, the CEO of Salga, Tolile, and Councillor Kapa, the Salga reps on the board of the Cities Network, and you have a representation from COCTA. So I'm trying to say, Chair, it's a well-structured way in which you find a platform for intergovernmental relations. And some of the things that we've been toying around lately is that perhaps we need to get the two other built environment ministries onto the board, and that is transport and human settlements, so that through them we are also able to interact with some of the issues that those two sectoral issues are facing. We also are thinking of involving the ministry that deals with land, because our concern is that for most of the part, the policy minister thinks of land only in agrarian terms. Never does it address the issue of land for urban purposes. And it's one of the key challenges and problems that urban-based municipalities have, access to land. And I think the reason why the housing agency was established was, amongst others, to ensure that it attempts to secure land. Our programmatic approach, I mean, from a very long time, has been that we've always said, if you again go back to the white paper on local government, if you were to evaluate how a municipal area, and particularly the municipal institution that governs that particular municipal area, these will be the 5 things against which you would at least have to evaluate them on. And we've given a description to each and every one of those. So from as far back as when we established. This has been our programmatic framework. We continue to operate it, and we think we will continue to operate on it for a long time to come. So we use the same operational framework to produce whatever material, whatever intelligence that we need to have, developmental intelligence, of course, whatever intelligence that we will want to understand about what's happening in cities, we use that particular framework. We are currently in the process of finalizing the third edition of the State of South African Cities report. And Che, I would like to request that at some point the committee considers inviting the Cities Network to give a much more thorough presentation about what it is that we are saying are going to be the challenges that are facing local government, we think, at least for the next 10 years. And maybe I should just spend another 2-3 minutes talking to those things, because they are not in the presentations. At the moment, we've identified about 8 issues, and I'm just going to make mention of them so that the committee can perhaps note those. The first we can call very broadly policy. Currently there is talk of a differentiated approach, but that differentiated approach has to be grounded in some form of a policy. The type of policy that seeks to also talk to the other side of the coin. The one side of the coin is the rural policy, but we still think you need an urban policy. And those two coincide and they live together. They are two sides of the same coin. We think it doesn't help for us as a country, and I think as a policy machinery, not to talk to urban development and be instructive about what it is that we want from various urban, geographic urban areas. What level of performance do we expect from them? And how it is that we're going to support them in a differentiated way as we begin to talk to differentiation. And of course, that whole set of issues around provinces and local government, or provinces vis-a-vis local government, or provinces and national, but we think that there's a huge amount of work that's going to have to be done in the next 10 years or so that talks to us nuancing the policy and making it much more specific. The second issue, as I alluded, relates to land. And this is not just about land as an asset, but it's about land availability. If we go back to the State of Cities report published in 2006, one of the things that the cities admit to is the fact that we have all, in one way or the other, perpetuated the apartheid spatial form. And the reason that is attributed to that type of behavior has been the fact that there's no land internally in the cities for us to be able to engage in meaningful social development, the type of social development that makes our cities much more efficient than they are. So land and land availability and land acquisition and land use management, that whole set of things is a very important instrument and therefore a challenge for the next generation of local governments to come, particularly the big municipalities where we see population in migration on a daily basis. The third one is that of transport, and not just economic transport, but because we are talking about municipalities, public transportation. There's something that we are seeing that's creeping, and it's the satisfaction by both elected and appointed officials and councils to be satisfied with the current form of bus rapid transportation system. When we think actually it's the beginning of creating a much more efficient public transportation system. Yes, there might be a lack of guts, for lack of a better word, on the part of the decision-making machinery within councils to be much more daring in how it is that they're going to change the way in which public transportation system is functioning. But we think that, if anything, what the committee ought to start doing is to ask the various municipalities, what are you doing about public transportation? Because without us solving public transportation, we're going to continue the apartheid spatial legacy, where people are trapped in spaces that make it expensive for them to move from one point to the other, accessing the city. The fourth, of course, is the issue of human settlement. So human settlement, transportation, and land acquisition are three related built environment functions that we are saying without a policy, we are not going to be able to tackle, at least tackle vehemently in various spaces. The next one is financing. Now, we've been having debates with our colleagues in National Treasury. But the good thing is that they also agree that the way in which local government as a sector or as a sphere compared with the other two spheres, the way in which local government is financed needs to be rethought. Selfishly, from the bigger municipality point of view, we're saying if we have to rethink how it is that we're financing local government, then one of the things or one of the outcomes of that rethinking process is going to have to be a situation where we allow municipalities to have much more stronger sources of revenue. Because once they have stronger sources of revenue of their own, then they become much more independent from the national fiscal. Once they become much more independent from the national fiscal, that improves their ability to be more innovative and play around and make mistakes and be allowed to make mistakes whilst they are growing at the same time. And if we allow them to be innovative, then we are fulfilling the wishes that were stipulated in the white paper on local government that was saying that we want to create an independent local government. And I think independent did not mean separated, but it meant the type of local government that can be able to work on its own. The last two issues that are emerging from this State of Cities report is this issue of energy. And we're talking energy, not electricity, but energy holistically, or the natural resource base that municipalities so depend on for them to be able to function properly into the future. This includes, yes, electricity in one or the other, or renewable energy. It also includes water. I think we know of the water restrictions that municipalities have put in place because they're simply just running out of water. So any other particle that provides energy onto the municipalities is going to become a challenge. And unfortunately, if you make an assessment, maybe using the spectacles of SALGA across all 283 municipalities of who is beginning to tackle the issue of energy and renewable energy, not all municipalities are. In fact, the smaller the municipality becomes, the burdened its agenda that the issue of energy and renewable energy is not on the agenda. It's not there at all. It's almost like it doesn't exist. So what we're realizing is that it's the bigger municipalities that are tackling the issue of renewable energy. And I think that impresses upon our this committee to also have a much more direct interaction with the committee that deals with environment for us to be able to look at all of those things. The second last matter, Chair, is something which I'm going to call the Achilles heel of our thinking process. We seriously are struggling to find expression to this issue, but it is a matter. It's a matter that we have decided to call how it is that as the bigger municipalities we must demonstrate the interdependence between rural and urban municipalities. And there are many suggestions that colleagues are throwing in the air, but I have found that the most practical one that I have seen on the table is one that says, shouldn't it be that the bigger municipalities invest in the smaller municipalities, maybe through their own development agencies, invest in such a manner that whatever it is that they invest upon that is based in those rural municipalities is something that once produced, it gets to be supplied to the urban municipalities. And then someone says, aha, then maybe we should help rural municipalities to put in place things like solar farms, because we know they don't have money. So we will invest in them and give them the money to put a solar plant, and we purchase the energy from that rural municipality. So in a way, we do not use all of our money in paying ESCOM, but we also, in a way, almost distribute it to rural municipalities by way of purchasing renewable energy. That's one simplistic, I think, example. But I think we are caught up in this Achilles heel about describing what it is that we refer to when we talk about rural-urban interdependence. Of course, we speak to Asgisa Eastern Cape, they talk about food production, which at this point in time is still, at least in their imagination, very much limited to being able to supply the nearby areas. And so how do we ensure that they're able to supply outwardly of their own geographic areas? The last point is the last issue that's arising. It's something that we're at pains at expressing, Chair. I think I must share with the House. We've been talking to Stats SA, and we've been saying to Stats SA, you see, the problem is that as local government, we are at the coal face of everything. And from time to time, our leadership, our decision makers, politicians and the likes, are almost at every corner attacked for not being able to deliver. And part and parcel of the reason why, if it is true, part and parcel of the reason why they are not delivering is because we do not have sufficient statistics at a local level to be able to feed their decision-making process. All we get to be told by Stats SA is that local government must be part and parcel of the national statistical system. But this is the fifth year now. It's just not happening. So there is no local government numerical intelligence about plans. If you go to a municipality, I'm hoping I'm speaking in committee here. I was in Buffalo City the other time, and I asked, do you know what are the population intake trends of Buffalo City in the last X number of years? Colleagues do not know. So there is no way that a mayor or a mayoral committee is able to not react, but to respond to those kinds of things through the use of numbers. And Stats SA, by their own admission, say, look, we are unable to give you figures up to a one level. So there's a big agenda that's going to need funding. And I think with your support, perhaps COPCA will come and make that proposal here, but I think it requires your support that perhaps local government as a sector also needs to start producing its own statistics as well. Not with the intention of being independent about it, but with the intention of supplementing what national Stats SA is doing. Because Stats SA is not prioritizing the information needs that are supposed to be informing us at the local government level. So there are the eight things that we think are functional issues. They're functional issues indeed, but they're going to have to be things that we must ask of the next generation of local government. And that's what is going to be entailed in the next state of the report. Having spoken to some of those contextual issues, Chair, let me go back to also how it is that we spend resources in the city's network. I think in the 8 years that we have been around, the biggest budget we have had is about 18 million. I think as reflected in the 2009-10 financial year, it's been 17 million. So we started out 8 years ago with about 2 million rand in the kitty, and we were that small. And we continued to grow, 2666, and it's been kept like that. The biggest change came in 2005-06, and notably that was because we were preparing for the local government election. So our budget increased by another 3 million rand, we've kept it at that. And the sudden increase that you see from 10 to 17 million between 2007, 2008, 2008, and 2009 is because we started to take on this agenda that looks at renewable energy. Excuse me. Because it's a big agenda. And we think local government has to pay attention to that. We think through this agenda of the green economy, there's something likely to happen
from a point of view of economic development, particularly local economic development. So there's our budget share, I think, as it stands. And I think inside, if I may refer you to the Deutschland Annual Performance Report 2010-11, and perhaps I could just take you through it page by page, perhaps starting from page 2 of 8. There is a summary of the expenditure for the South African Cities Network, which informs you how it is that we have engaged and spent all of our money. But what is important, particularly because we are an intelligence-generating entity for local government in a way, at least that's what we think of ourselves as, is what appears on page 3 of 8. And you'll see that the number of publications has just generally increased. And if you look at them, at the very last graph, it gives you a sense of what has happened between the 1st of July and now. And we've already produced 8 pieces of documentation that can be read, that can infuse policy. So we think that we've been working very well, given the circumstances, given our size, and given the amount of work that we want to do. And so it goes on and on. What you have next then is, I think, details of how many people are attending all the sessions that we have. And you will notice that there's a great number of independent consulting firms that come to sessions that are organized by the Cities Network. Whether those sessions are organized by the Cities Network on its own or the Cities Network with other partner organizations such as DBSA or the Human Science Research Council, in which we want to talk about phenomena A, B, or C, one of the things that we have seen is the fact that independent consultants come to those sessions in numbers. We are unable to describe that phenomena, but our board was concerned about this. The deputy minister, in chairing one of the meetings, said, "But why are your meetings attended by consultants?" He said, "We don't know. Maybe that's where they pick up things. Maybe this is where they best interact and network with municipalities. We haven't unpacked that. But whether it's a danger or not is also something that we haven't addressed very well." And of course, the Cities Network is, its methodology is very much recognized worldwide. You know, UN Habitat and all other entities, I mean, they recognize the work of the Cities Network in relation to its innovation. What we have in the following pages are a list of all the events that we have held, the objective of each and every one of those, and I think the committee will be able to read on their own what it is that we have been doing. Let me just talk to the last three slides, Chair, so that we can have a presentation. It's not on your pages, unfortunately, but I will leave this for further distribution. We have been under pressure in the last year and a half, to do what was called to work beyond beyond the 9 traditional member cities of the Cities Network. And obviously those 9 traditional member cities are your metropolitan municipalities and your what used to be called your aspirant metros. And obviously Buffalo City will be a metro, Mangaung will be a metro after the next election, Umsunduzi will not be a metro. But so we are, in a way you could say we're a club of metropolitan municipalities. So there's been calls for us to work beyond. And one of the calls that has been made specifically was to say work with about at least the 21 largest municipalities in South Africa. So very difficult thing, because it's going to mean now that we must grow the size of the network. And we don't want to be a big organization, but we have to respond to the requests that's made by both the minister, some of the non-metropolitan municipalities, whether it's George or Mthatha or Mafikeng, who are saying, but we want to be part of it. Our problem is that we don't want to be in conflict, potentially, with an entity such as Falga. So we're trying to negotiate what is it going to mean to now have an expanded network beyond the 9-member municipalities. The other call has been to say we have to work with SADC-based municipalities. And I think this is partly our own fault. When we started producing the state of finances, we thought, why don't we move outside of South Africa? Why don't we start to look at other municipalities in the SADC region? So we chose about 12 of them, from Maputo to Windhoek, and we indeed picked up quite a number of lessons, Lusaka and the like. And then suddenly there's a call for us to work in SADC practically in expanding the network. So we've said moving forward, maybe what we will do is to work with these six metropolitan municipalities as they exist now, work with the other three aspirant municipalities, Umsunduzi, Buffalo City, and Mangaung. There's probably going to be more because we hear the Gauteng is in the process of putting a metropolitan municipality by 2016, and that's what they're working towards. And then once we know that we're working with those, then we add the other 12 secondary municipalities. We will see what it is that we will do with them. Obviously, it will range from assisting them work much more better, much more cleverly, but also work with the 12 based SADC municipalities. Now, I'm mentioning this, Chair, because at some point we will go back to COCTA and say, this is what you've requested us to do. These are the financial implications. So one of the days that the committee will see a sudden rise in the request that the Cities Network has for resources, and it will be because we are responding to this request for us to work beyond the 9 metropolitan areas to what is called the 21 largest municipalities and the 12 SADC based ones. Let me stop there and thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mbaba. Members, there's a report. I'm sure you want to engage with the presentation. Let me just add your list of problems. You named 8. But what intrigues me is you mentioned water. It's a by the way issue when you speak about energy. It's not lifted as one of the key issues. Yet globally we are told this is the coming crisis. And in fact in our own country we've been told that this is one of the biggest problems. And that in fact in the steps that relates to water, it is in the informal settlement in the major cities where you have poor water availability and provision. So I find it strange that you don't identify it as a priority of issues around which something needs to be done. That's the first sort of question. And secondly, you also raise the question of states. Now, you blaming State South Africa for not doing anything about helping your members to have appropriate statistics. How do they then plan if they don't have statistics? Whose figures do they use to do that? And I'm asking that rhetorically, meaning that I would have thought that this is one thing, a priority that they would themselves invest in. One of my favorite cities worldwide, I'm sure for many people, is Curitiba. And I saw a profile of the city, and they could list, we have got 140 musicians in the city. Seven of them are trombonists. 8 of them are climbers. I mean, I'm just trying to point out the detail to which this guy has kept, that they have a research Smolanyana affair as part of the city infrastructure, that they keep track of people who live in the city and projections of their growth. I would have thought that any city worth its salt would prioritize that, even if there is a national system of statistics, so that it also leads to that. When we had a presentation by State South Africa the other day, where not every member was present there, but it was we were invited by the Committee on Finance to which the State South Africa reports, and the minister was there explaining. And then we asked them specifically on local government, and their story is that yes, there are difficulties. Yes, they realize that many cities are in fact using State South Africa information, even if they say it's inaccurate, but that's what they're using. And secondly, that what they're doing is to build, going forward, I would imagine, the capacity of their district operations to be more effective, to achieve what you're asking, what you're talking about. So that's their view. But I do want to understand what has kept cities from prioritizing this to inform their IDPs or their city strategies, you know, building capacity to generate this thing. The urban-rural dynamics, in other words, surfacing the interdependencies, is a useful exercise to do. Looking at the footprint of what's happening in the city and where it comes from, it would appear like a very useful exercise to do. And it would be interesting just to record what's happening right now, not plans, but what's practically happening right now, to surface those relationships would be an interesting exercise, I would imagine. Let me stop there for now and ask members for their comments, questions on this. Peter Smith, Honorable Ms. Steven Tengetwa.
Thank you, Chair. Enjoyed the presentation. Thanks very much. Just a couple of questions, actually. A couple of minor ones, maybe to start with. The board composition, I thought when you started, at least I understood you to be saying that the composition of the board comprises mayors and MMs, and I took it to mean both per city. But if you look at the composition, actually, it's MMs or mayors in terms of directors. And in fact, of the 9 municipalities here, only 2 of them are mayors. Okay, one's an ex-mayor, and another one there is nobody vacant. But it strikes me that the composition is somewhat technocratically oriented as opposed to politically driven. And I would have thought that a body of this nature would have comprised the mayors leading the forum. And if it's going to be mayors and MMs, they'd both be there, but not the MMs taking the lead, the cities, on the issue. Because although I understand the nature of the research you do, obviously does involve things that the MMs would be more familiar with. Maybe in terms of the leadership of the organization, I still think it should be a more of a politically driven or hands-on with the MMs. Secondly, there's one slide you presented went very fast. I'm sure I missed something, but you were giving the state of the city's reports you've done to date, and there's one in 2004. It seems to be a 2-year interval, 2004, 2006. There's no 2008, and then there's one this year. What happened in 2008? Did you miss out or did I miss out? Then, Jeff, the issue of the secondary cities, the 21 largest, to me is actually a bit of an anomaly in a way that it is, in fact, largely metro-driven. Because if it's a South African cities network, it's not South African metropolitan cities network, it's South African cities network. It's cities include the secondary cities. And if you in fact look at your Buffalo City contribution to GDP of there, 3.5%, and then the next lowest 14%, well, you may as well say, well, why bother to throw in, if it's going to be the metro, it's one of just the 3 or 4 largest, then, you know, I mean, what, because because I'm sure some of the smaller secondary cities are not far away from Buffalo City anyway. So I would have thought it's long overdue to make it the 21 largest. Then also on your 8 themes, I don't know. I mean, you talk about the themes of the challenges for the next generation, and I agree with what you've got, and I certainly agree that water is a self-standing one. I know that you said energy, then you said energy and resources, and kind of threw it in that way. But water is a critical issue. But I wonder whether, there's any scope in your challenges for governance matters. And governance might include even things like capacity. I was just reading a report the other day in the newspaper, in fact, in Durban. Durban, of any of the cities, has managed reasonably well to retain its skilled technical staff. But it's now down to a crisis for engineers. It doesn't have enough engineers right now to even run the city properly. It actually recognizes it's critical. Now, places like that can't keep engineers. Then what on earth, surely that's a challenge for the next generation, as equally to these other things you mentioned here. So I would have thought governance capacity should be thrown in somewhere. And then lastly, which is actually my most, well, to me the most important question is, if you're a knowledge sharing organization, then the real measure of your success will not be the extent to which you produce knowledge, but the extent to which it's internalized by those for whom you produce it. So you can produce reports, and they might sit on somebody's shelf, and you could say that it's an output, but it's not much of an outcome. I would like to see something which says, as a consequence of the reports in 2004, this is what changed in the member city's behavior. Then in 2006 we did a report on this, and as a consequence of this knowledge sharing, cities A, B, and C changed the behavior from X to Y. I want to see the impact of what the research and knowledge sharing has been, as opposed simply to say that there is. I mean, I think this is wonderful stuff. I like reading it. It's brilliant. But, I'm not an MM of the city. I would love to know that as a consequence of this, we've improved our performance. I wonder, do you have such an impact analysis? Thank you.
Thanks for the report. My first question, I just want to check with the organization, how many of the 21 membership and municipalities have experienced service delivery protests, and what were the main issues raised, if there are any? And also, you said there are some other lessons you learned from interaction with the 12 static base municipalities in your interaction. I just want maybe to share with us, what are those, some of the lessons? Are there some municipalities in the SADC who are performing better than ours here? And why you want to remain a small membership organization? And also my question is related to the last plan of Picasso saying, I remember it all because of the members are performing well. What are their experiences in their budget management, according maybe to Auditor General report? Thank you.
Or if you could then take.
Thanks. Thanks again for the wonderful presentation that we've had. But I'd like to get clarity as to one, how do we define the urban space in a country which is characterized by a dual economy? You have the likes of Johannesburg, you also have the likes of Mthatha, classified as cities, and yet cities mainly located in the rural space are not prioritized by cities network. So how are they supposed to develop and see their growth into the future? The second question, Chair, is really the development of cities. Who takes the lead on that, the political head or consultants? In your presentation, you stated out that most of your meetings are attended by consultants who come to source out information from you. But isn't such a initiative supposed to empower mayors or even municipal managers who are looking at the development of their IDPs and their growth space. The third question, Chair, I think has been covered by Honorable Kenneth, but I would also want to use the example of Buffalo City, since it's part of the cities which fall under the city network, which has had challenges of service delivery and has had problems with the ratepayers association. What are best learned principles from city network? Thank you.
I see that you're missing about 40% of your board members. Does that compromise your activities? I know some organisations would that actually would probably assist. I'm also very interested in the stats, Mr. Chair, and our question is really also to you. Is there some way that we as a committee can drive this? I know that the collection of stats at a local level must have a huge cost and expertise implication. So I would imagine StatsSA is the organisation that should be doing this. What do they need? Do they need a push from somebody, or do they need more money, or what? Can we do anything about that? Third thing is just logistical. Is there any way we can see all the slides that you presented, and do you have your list of 8 issues that we could see in written form? Possibly 9 if you separate up water.
Thanks, Mr. Che. I noticed from your board and the composition that SALGA is on your board. Is there a reason why you're not part of SALGA instead of SALGA being part of you? Because considering the fact that SALGA is already as a legitimate body providing these sorts of things in different portfolios and things like that, should the network not be part of SALGA? Thanks.
I'm not on the board. You were a member once of something called the Institute of Local Government. You were one of those who engineered the creation of it. There was any question or comment.
Chair, I don't have a question at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like
I tell the truth. I'm a terrorist. Just to your question prompts me something, because you are throwing at me. It strikes me that, by the way, Trevor Manuel is now responsible for the Planning Commission, and we are told the Planning Commission is about to report to him. I don't know how soon it's going to do so. Have you had anything to deal with it? Okay, that's the first question. It would be useful to know that there's a sub relationship there and so on. And because the I would assume that the work that's going to come up there is very important. Members, Mr. Mbanga raises the question of land use. There's a bill that's hanging somewhere. So we may have to check where the hell and what's happening to that bill, land use management bill. It's in the department of, on the back banner of the Department of Land and Rural Development, I think. What their plans with it is something that we need to explore and find out. Some of the questions must go to the minister. It's like the district knowledge sharing facility died death. I don't understand why we allowed it to die, but I'm just placing it for the record here that we should pursue to find out what led. There's some work that's been done at district level. In the report we're going to discuss later on, there's reference to a pilot study that involved 14 districts, for example. So we will just pursue that part of the work that we're talking about. It may have some reference to other questions that we have raised today. The final question is whether you have explicitly submitted your view as a Cities Network on the conundrum around the powers and functions, so that when you speak about transport and human settlement, for example, what's your take on those issues? And finally, and this is one of the issues that I thought you would surface also as one of the issues that confronts the cities going forward, it's migration, urbanization dynamics. Okay, let's say you respond.
I'm going to try to be as thorough as possible. I might move from one question to the other, but I will certainly respond to all the questions. So should the Cities Network be part and parcel of Sardin? We think no. We think it's important for the Cities Network to remain an independent entity governed by its board but accountable to SALGA and COTA as the parent entities, which is why we prefer that they sit on the board of the Cities Network rather than the Cities Network being a unit within SALGA. The reason is more institutional, as it were, rather than a matter of principle. In that, in SALGA, we see an entity that seeks to speak for all 283 municipalities, plus minus. And in the Cities Network, we see a specialized entity that is digging information and specializes specifically in digging that information. And therefore, it should remain having that particular niche. Once you put, we think, the Cities Network within SALGA is going to be trapped by all the institutional problems that are within SALGA. So it should rather have its own institutional problems and seek to deal with them, as it were. And parent has a lot of our institutional problems, I think I'm coming back to you, is the fact that the reason you have this level of vacancy in the board has been many changes in the last 24 months, either in mayors or in municipal managers. For instance, Ngozi refers to Buffalo City. We did a very silly, jovial analysis of Buffalo City, and we realized that Buffalo City has actually, in the last 10 years, had about 8 city managers. It has had 5 mayors. Of the 8 city managers, only 2 were permanent. So everyone else has been acting. So, and then you compare that, let's say, with Etchegwini, where you've had the same city manager, same mayor for 10 years. And then you can then look at issues such as, maybe you look at indicators such as institutional stability, governance, and all of those things. Consistency, whether it's the consistency of mistakes or consistency of good practice. But you see those. So once there are those leadership issues that affect us, and they do affect us, because the former mayor of Buffalo City was the chairperson before the current chairperson. So when she left, for a period of 6 months, we didn't have a chairperson. So it does affect us. But what we have decided we're going to do, guided by Deputy Minister as the chair, is that let's wait for these oncoming local government elections. Cross our fingers and hope for the best. And once the mayors have been put in place, at least we start to talk to the mayors so that the municipal managers that will come on board are also oriented towards the need for them to play a role in the cities network. And needless for me to say that it is not all city managers nor all mayors that appreciate the need to be part and parcel of being in a peer group. So what tends to happen is that you don't see all the mayors here. So the mayor will say, I don't want to be part and parcel of the board of the cities network, and then delegate that task to one of the mayoral committee members. And the same would happen with a municipal manager. So we're not very steadfast about that. But what we seek to achieve is that in each and every municipal representation on the board, you have both an elected and unelected official serving on the board, either as the director or as the alternate. But the attendance is, we expect two people. And we have three board meetings per year, and our board meetings are more about the sharing of knowledge rather than how many pencils we bought this month. There's a management committee that runs. So that's how. So yes, it is a worry, but it's not, I don't think it reached crisis proportions. What are we going to do with STEDS? As I said, we've been speaking to STEDS at least since 2006 about this matter. And the response that we get is not dissimilar from the one that you just received, where we get to be told, well, we are still building the capacity of our district offices. But for us, it doesn't help. Yes, it is the responsibility of municipalities to collect their own data, to do their own. So at the very least, what we have done is to have indicators across economic development, finance, and all of those things. The problem that we have is twofold. On the one hand, we all depend on STEPS SA, and I think that's because we are. It's an attempt on our part to ensure that you don't have a STEPS SA that loses reputation. So we all say we rely on STEPS SA's information. But the problem that we have is that sometimes, on a practical basis, STEPS SA purchases some of its statistics from private statistical houses. So when they go and buy, we're also going that side to also purchase. So we end up purchasing the same information. We get it free from STEPS SA, we purchase it from that and that other private sector entity. The second problem is that the private sector entities that are producing statistics are not using the same methodology, or put better, they're not using comparable methodology. So they've hoarded their methodology, so they don't give it to us. So if you say to them, so why do you say the Gauteng area is now about 14 million people? How did you come to that? They will not give you that information. In fact, for them, every time you ask a question, you put money on the table. So the double expenditure that's taking place, if not a tenfold expenditure, because even amongst ourselves as cities, we tend to go to these statistical houses individually. And so for the same information, by the way, so we end up spending tenfold for the same information. The difficulty, if I may share with the committee, around this thing of stats, we are told exists by statisticians that are based in the cities, is that it's going to take a long time for us to build the same methodology and the same system as municipalities, because we use different systems. For instance, someone who works in the electricity department of Ekurhuleni, in Ekurhuleni, he or she is not in the electricity department, she is in another section. So the structures are such that they feed information differently, and there is no one central point at which this information filters. So to develop a methodology, let's say, of 10 municipalities is going to take time. And we are told it's costly. Now, what we have asked, we have a reference group called the Indicators Reference Group, which are all statisticians from the 9-member municipalities. We've asked them to put a proposal together, which we want to take to COCTA and say, can you lead us into a better local government statistical system, which will then feed. Now, unfortunately, I'm not technically clued up about statistics and all of those things, but at least that's what those group of 9 people are telling us. So they're busy working on that particular proposal. By March, we should have it on the table, because it's been stated as one of the problems that the next generation of local government is going to have to deal with. Now, hopefully, whatever system we as the bigger municipalities will come up with should be something that's useful for all municipalities. The other anecdotally, the other thing that gets to be mentioned is that our universities are not producing statisticians. So you don't have a groundswell of young people that are statistically minded that can be employed by these municipalities to work on nothing else other than statistics. I mean, the one example that was utilized is a university in China, Tongji University, that produces at least 5,000 young statisticians year on year, and those get deployed at a local government level. So that makes local government less dependent on private sector entities, and I'm not sure who is the source of the of human resource capacity for statistics. So it seems it's a big problem, but I think we're flagging it as well, and to say it's a problem that we are on our own are not going to be able to solve. I'll come back to the questions around the planning commission chair. There is no definition about what is urban space. What we know is that any urban space in South Africa must have characteristics of both urban and rural. So the jurisdiction area, well, other than Johannesburg, I think Johannesburg is the one that is least defined in terms of having both rural and urban. But all these nine municipalities have huge, vast rural areas. Etelwini is one of them. Ekurhuleni is one of them. Buffalo City, you name them. They all have some rural hinterland. I was trying to pull, I don't have a, a pin code for this computer, but I wanted to show information, well, how we did the dissection when we were working with the urban development framework. If you can, there's a slide that I wanted to talk to you. But just to answer the question, I think we said when we were I apologize for this. This was work that was done 2 years ago. We were working for the with the presidency, trying to put a non-academic but very practical sense of what is urban, what is not urban. And we came up with this called the typology of South African cities, which is basically a typology of South African municipalities, just across wall to wall, so to speak. And we started saying, in South Africa, you have the following characteristics. You have city regions, which are large, and growing conurbations, and I think there are examples there, Cape Town, Etelwini. And then we've got cities, and then we started to stipulate which ones will be cities, which is what the chair called secondary cities. And we've made examples, East London, Polokwane, regional services center, precisely. So this was more a functional description, rather than the European description of what would be an urban. So we looked at what's the function of this in relation to the national development objectives of the country. And then that's how we sort of broke it down. There are other breakdowns that have been done. I am certain SALGA has done a breakdown when they were attempting to say we should no longer refer to municipalities of category A, B, and C plain. There should be A, and then should be B1 and B2. There is that kind of work that was done. So there is no one single, I think, description that would be fit to one specific area. But at least what we have done here is to attempt to give a sense of what options would you have. So if you are a mayor, how would you describe yourself? Would you describe yourself more as a city, or as a regional services center, or as a service town, and the like? And the like. So unfortunately, and so we would then hope then that mayors, political leadership, and municipal managers, the administrative leadership, they are the ones that take the lead in city development. What we think, well, I must say this is more of a personal mentor, I think sometimes they feel very much tied by legislation. I think they are afraid to make mistakes. It's almost like if they make mistakes, someone is going to hound on them and say, why are you making that? So the space for innovation and do things differently is almost running out. And it's running out precisely because of the other point that I made earlier, that they don't have their own money to play around with and toy around and try new things and the like. Should the city network remain small, unfortunately, Honorable Kenyatta has left, but I mean, it should remain small. We don't think that city's network should be big, otherwise it's going to lose its nicheness. And so, if we must have a district learning network, let's have that district learning network that focuses on district municipalities. If we have a network of towns that are border towns, let's have that network that focuses on border towns and let them have that particular niche. But don't increase the size of the city's network because you want it to be everything to everyone. You're going to lose the focus. But I, for instance, I like the idea of having a network of municipalities that are border municipalities. It will be nice because they will have something different to teach us. All municipalities of the city's network have experienced service delivery projects. In fact, they are the lead municipalities in service delivery projects. But I dare say this, we are certain that these are not just service delivery projects. These are systemic problems. They are problems in the system of governance, but they are reflecting themselves out there in a space called a local municipality. And that, unfortunately, for one reason or the other, it will be the bigger municipalities that are experiencing. Because if you go to the 2004 State of Cities Report, Chair, and the 2006, when we started reflecting on who's delivering more houses, who's delivering more water, it was the bigger municipalities. So it can't be that the only description that can be attributed to this behavior should only be called service delivery protest. The problem seems to us to be much bigger and much more nuanced than the way in which newspapers are telling us that it's only about service delivery. There's something much more deeper in the... So yes, all of them. In fact, they are the biggest culprits in the media description of a service delivery. What lessons from SADC? Windhoek has a lot of lessons to teach our secondary cities. I think that the bulk, the one word would be called austerity. Windhoek is doing so well, and yet it has less and less of budget resources than the youngest of the nine municipalities, which is Pietermaritzburg. And yet it is doing very well. The one example that I love very much is about how they've managed to keep their fleet of buses for 20 years off their books. You know, for 20 years. So what they do is to spend money maintaining those buses. So on the one hand, they're able to deliver a good public service, and for the last 20 years they've not purchased a single bus. So they're saving. They have a governance system, if I may, I think, which is a lesson for South Africa. They have a governance system in which the city reports directly to the president, because that's the importance that is attributed to that space in Namibia, which are some of the things. It doesn't work very well all the time. This issue of reporting directly in Tanzania is not working, because all other levels of government get dumped. And all. So I think there are lessons to learn. I don't think in the lessons we can want to apply them blanketly in the South African situation. So there are lessons. I think austerity is the key. They are doing the best under very, very challenging circumstances. I suspect I've dealt with the question around why we should not just make it a network of 21 largest municipalities. I think it's more about the content. I've dealt with the issue about who's in the board of the Citizens Network. I think it's a combination of the first generation of board members was strictly technical. It was just city manager. And I think someone said, hey, you need your political support. In fact, even the minister was not involved. I think Andrew Borain was the chair, and you had all city managers and no one else. I think that has changed. Chair, I don't wish that I had undermined water. I think what the point we're making when we talk about energy, I think we're talking about natural resources. And we're saying, okay, or rather, sources of energy for the city. And one of them is water. The other might be electricity and many others. So I don't think we're undermining water per se. But I hear the point that maybe we need to elevate water and take it out of the eight boxes and make it a box all on its own.
Whilst you are on the Department of Minerals, of Energy, his draft strategy on energy resources for the next 20-30 years, whose deadline was extended to December. Did you make a submission to that? Just in line with that.
Yes. We've made a submission around the issue of energy and electricity.
Yes.
And I think, obviously, the debate has, on the one hand, has been clouded by the issue of RES and all of those things. The city is arguing that, hey, the RES are going to take away a source of revenue from us, and I think the management of that particular debate. So, yes, they have. Unfortunately, and I think this is the fault, again, with us in municipality, we tend to complain a lot sometimes instead of doing things and acting. And I suspect you can attribute that type of complaining a lot to the fact that municipalities are always afraid of being seen to be undermining their political counterparts in the other spheres, either because they are principals or municipalities are seen to be junior, or whatever the case might be. So instead of municipalities making the case, they instead made a complaint that energy should be our responsibility and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So it was not a responsible input. It was not the type of input, for instance, that we made to the National Planning Commission. So yes, indeed, there is a submission that has been made. And it's very much biased towards the alternative, the renewable energy, saying, well, we want to pursue renewable energy, and we want renewable energy for our purposes, but also for purposes of ensuring that we feed into the tariff, we make money for communities and all of those things. So yes, there is a submission that has been made. So Chair, I was saying that I apologize if I just mentioned water briskly. I think there's a basket of energy goodies, if I may call them, that municipalities are very concerned about. Whether it's going to be oil, because most of our municipalities are very much based on fuel as a source of energy. What happens if the price of oil goes up again? Will we have cars? What if the cars don't run for 10 years? What happens to the tar roads and all of those things and all of that? So there's a basket of energy goodies that municipalities are concerned about, and one of them is water. As that source of energy. It is electricity, it is oil, and the like. Let me just deal then with the last question. Our interaction with the Planning Commission is there. It's not formal for most of the part, but the Planning Commission invites planners, particularly planners from the various member cities of the Cities Network to their session. I think the last one was about 4 weeks ago. Formally, what we have asked them, when the commission was asking, what do you think we should be doing as the Planning Commission? In summary, we've said we are asking, or we are calling for a strong Planning Commission, at least for the first X number of years. Then thereafter, you can can relax, relax the bites that you will give. Because the reason we made that call was that we think that, okay, let's go to this typology. That's it. We think, for instance, that the planning commission must have a different agreement with city regions, as it would have with cities, as it would have with service centers, and that agreement must stick. So, by way of example, the Nelson Mandela Bay city region must be told by the National Planning Commission that, look, because of the following characteristics that you have, let's say you've got Guha, you've got a population of this much, you've got this, we expect you to grow your economy by XYZ. And this is the support that we will galvanize from all of government on your behalf in order for you to be able to achieve that set outcome. In that way, you have a biting planning commission. We think for the first X number of years, it must be a strong and almost wielding type of commission. Not the one that will dictate, but the one that negotiates, and once there's an agreement that has been reached, then that agreement must stand between a local government and the various spheres of government through the planning commission as a conduit. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much. Peter, quick.
There's just a question left out. Quick, to remind you, why wasn't the report in 2008?
Oh,
secondly, is governance not an issue, a key challenge? Thirdly, the main one is, what has been internalized by the members in terms of changing their behavior as a result of your reports and knowledge sharing?
I apologize. Governance is a very important thing for the Cities Network. Okay. If you recall, I spoke about that framework. So the well-governed city remains an important thing that we are always looking at. So the eight issues that I have mentioned are just a list of the 10 issues that any local government must not do without, as we suggest, in the next 10 years. But those eight things must feed into all those ones. So governance is one of them. So through your ability to manage finances, you become well-governed. Through your ability to do X, Y, Z, yeah, and I think that's the approach. Why the staccato in the production of the State of Cities report? The 2004, we were starting. We were only about maybe 18 months or so, and we thought, let's put out something there, and let's see what will the response to this knowledge product be. The 2006, we were preparing for the local government elections, in a way, also saying, part and parcel of the 10-year review and the like. Now, the 2010 is also following these local government elections. So what we are hoping is that every other local government election, henceforth, we will have a State of Cities report. So every 5 years. So I think we stumbled a bit at the beginning. But
it's not a two-year cycle.
No, it's not a two-year cycle. But what we have done is, we've planned that between the 5 years, there's going to be specialized reports, and one of them that we've started with is the State of Finances. Then there's the sustainability and all of that. But there will be every 5 years, pre the local government elections, there will be a State of Cities report. Sorry, the third question?
What are they actually
impact analysis?
Okay, the impact analysis, I think I've made mention of the urban development framework. The unfortunate thing is that we can only do so much. So once we have put a report with recommendations, we, for lack of a better word, we will market it to those that are supposed to take decisions. Sometimes decisions get taken, sometimes they do not get taken. Let me use two typical examples. We worked on the urban development framework. That piece of recommendation is still sitting at COCTA somewhere, and the presidency between those two. We hope that there will be action around it. Once there is action, we will be able to say victory. It is because of us that that's the impact. The second example is on the Gauteng city region, the concept of the Gauteng city region when we started out. It was our work that convinced the provincial leadership in Gauteng to start thinking around the concept of the Gauteng city region. The Deputy Minister of Transport, whilst he was still in Parliament, we did work for him around issues of transport and how it is that he would be able to put in place a public transportation fund. There's quite a number of other examples. The main question, does our work change behavior at a municipal level? Not yet. We think it hasn't. We just have to find ways in which it can change behavior. At least not substantially, to be honest.
Okay. Members, thank you very much. This has been a very engaging stuff. There are issues that arises here that we may want to follow up on. I'm particularly interested in the submissions you say you've made on those long-term policy issues and so on, including if it's in writing, your submission to the Planning Commission. I'm aware you said it's the planning people from the various cities, but if they did anything collectively, that would be useful for us to have a sight on, as well as to the long-term energy resource strategy. Your submissions to that would be useful for us to look at. And I think, members, we need to deal with this question of the stats, follow up the statistics. It's an important part of the planning work that ought to be done on an ongoing basis. Municipalities, the IDPs were meant to be planning tools for all of municipalities. So the city network came with a clever phrasing, sounding sophisticated, we call city strategies. They would argue that no, they wanted to be more sharper and so on and so on. And yet the law itself says IDPs must be long term, 5 to 20 years. Okay. So that long term planning is in fact what we're talking about. So to the extent to which that remains the position, we would expect that statistics and so on must be really prioritized by municipalities themselves and what they do. By South Africa itself, and as your input to the human resource development strategy by the Department of Higher Education, as it evolves, one of the issues it must contain, for example, they said to us when we saw the first briefing of this thing, that there is a section there that speaks about local government. What are the human resource needs of local government going forward? So you are suggesting that this is one of the states of South Africa and so on. So we must place that on the agenda of things that we must pursue going forward. And the composition of the it's not only this one, the structure and the impact it has on the quality of work there. We must find ways in which it is addressed so that the question of continuity is regarded with seriousness at that level to bring stability to governance issues there. But thank you very much. We appreciated your input, and we think it will help us also to reflect on this in what we are going to say. So we will, in our interaction with the department, also have a more informed interaction with them. Having listened to you here. If you don't have anything else, okay, Peter, go ahead.
No, just, I think it would be very useful for us, because we don't meet with them very often. It's not like it's an annual event.
Yeah.
I would be very keen to, for example, see a set of their key recommendations or policy review positions over the years, and what and where we stand with those now.
Yeah.
Which things it might be useful for us to help drive, for example.
Yeah.
Some maybe really good recommendations are falling through the cracks and they go nowhere.
Yeah.
Can we have something of that nature?
Yeah. Well, I assume that he realizes on behalf of the Cities Network that Parliament is their ally. You might think we are part of the enemy. any strategic material you have for which you have an interest, that it's useful to let us have it, because it strengthens our oversight responsibility and so on. So please just keep us posted with some of your interesting materials and so on. Yeah.
Thank you. hand be able to give a pen the opposite. What you do? What the hell did I expect?
Pressure on them, and the therefore, in the observations that we make, we have to have some reference to that point. This is one of the things that I thought we would reflect on. Population dynamics, intense urbanization, and or to put it perhaps in the way in which we discussed it earlier today, the urban-rural dynamic and surfacing those relationships and how we can build both spaces effectively. And then the other, which I think is significant, and it's not a small matter, it's it's okay, we'll give you space to comment on this. And that the non-payment of debt as an issue by the biggest amount owed to municipalities is residential, but a significant amount also owed to municipalities by big business, and some of the amounts are from departments, national departments, and provincial departments of public banks are responsible for that. We received a briefing from the Minister of Public Works that they have introduced a system which allows them to pay over the money to provincial departments, who must then, verifying these amounts with the departments, pay this to municipalities. That's what the national department said. So we need to, in formulating a recommendation or an observation, talk about what our observation has been so far. I incidentally, I plan to raise with Citizen Network the issue of statistics. That keeping researching and communicating statistics at a municipal level is an important agenda item. So I had it as my third point to find its way into the report. You say that you have changed, and the report I'm using is your latest, the one I read last night that I received. I printed it out and I read it to the point I'm making. The next point I want to make is that on page 3 of the report, the mandate of the committee, including provision section 5 of the Money Amendment Bill and so on. So the last paragraph there says that the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs consider the budget of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. The committee considered the department's annual report on those days. But then it ends there. It doesn't refer to the fact that we also interacted with entities like SALGA, the Cities Network, now the Municipal Demarcation Board, the CRL Commission, that received, including the newly established Department of Traditional Affairs. So, and it is crucial that we do that, because those account to the department. They receive money there, and their performance and their relationship with the department and minister are issues that we picked up in our interview. So we need to reflect on that in what we say about this report. My reference to let me first talk about the Millennium Development Goals.
Wait
a minute, Peter. You know Paul David in Devon. He's a lawyer, he's an attorney. Anyway, when I first spoke at a public meeting in Devon, I was translating for Solomon Mahlangu's mother, and she spoke Sesotho, so I had to translate it into him. So Paul comes to me afterwards. That was beautiful. I said, Paul, how the hell do you know I made up that speech? So even if I told you what it is,
I would
have no clue.
I can't think of
I'm a loser. Incidentally, none of them would hear me. I don't know about her. These sitting next to me wouldn't hear things. Okay. No, the point I wanted to make is that the Millennium Development Goals, the manner in which I think we should be approaching this question is that, by the way, we received, I should have printed it so that members should look at it, a letter from Mr. Obed Babela, chair of committees, to say that we must have some reflection on Millennium Development Goals. As from a point of view of the department that we oversee and its entities, contribution to that, what's our observation? We did ask when we were when we talked to the traditional affairs, to the municipality there about those questions and so on, and we can basically, on the basis of the work the department is doing, see that this kind of work impacts on the following thing. We don't have to be detailed, so I think that in the report, the way it is referenced, it's very limited. The one liner that is that we can improve in formulating it to say that the free basic services, for example, as an example of that area, okay, has a major impact on Millennium Development Goals. Some of those Millennium Development Goals, so we must have a reflection on that. And my final point is the one I started with, that about the report, the ad hoc committee's report. On the establishment of, ensure the establishment of municipal public accounts committees at all municipalities. You see, we had a small interaction with the MEC in Gauteng on this matter. And what he told us, essentially, it's a very nuanced story that, yes, these committees, there's been agreement to create them. They've been kind of operating, but we are still yet to see more stronger political support. We are still to see practical institutional support to their functioning in Gauteng. And so we can extrapolate from there that the establishment will need extraordinary work to be done to lay the foundation for their success. So we can't just make a recommendation that says ensure that they are established. When we have already heard where they are established, what are the problems, we must reflect on those issues that we had and include an observation of some of those issues. That would be the one view I have about one of those things. And then maybe members will talk about the recommendations themselves so that we just from the report. Any comments that you want to make? Peter?
I was on your last comment on your observations on public accounts committees at local level. I just want you to draw on last week's interaction with the department. It was one of my questions, and the minister said it's going to be fully functioning. I don't know where I've written the response.
Yeah.
So I just want also to refer. Peter,
yeah,
I don't remember, maybe you
said he said that they are working to, they had initially thought they would launch them earlier. They've changed the dates for some reason. That they are committed to doing it at the appropriate time. So what we want to say is the dynamics that we hear at Gauteng Rail and so on. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Peter.
Okay, one omission, I think, is dealing with the, well, in fact, two omissions, but one under the same umbrella, is the provincial support.
Oh, yes.
Now, the department's got a new name, and again, isn't a word here about the provinces.
Yeah.
But if you read, of course, the mandate,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you start from the beginning. The department has 5-year strategic plan, number one, building and improving the governance systems to enable sustainable development of citizenry. We don't say a word about provinces. Now, when I asked the minister a question about provincial capacity, I was talking erroneously, I suppose, only about in support of municipalities. But his answer was, we mustn't only look at provinces supporting municipalities, we have to look at the whole province. And then he acknowledged there's no capacity.
Yeah.
And he said, we have to then do an audit of all the provinces to establish whether they have the capacity to be able to do the job that's being given to them.
Mm.
But then in respect of support, specifically for municipalities, he said that none of them have the capacity. Now that's not captured anywhere. So I think that should be captured.
Yeah.
As a critical.
Except that, before you proceed, I want us to stay with you there on that point. In the report, there is reference to provinces. There is reference to the strategy.
Yeah, but only as PGPs, nothing to do with support.
Sorry?
Only in relation to other issues. For example, aligning provincial growth and development strategies with IDPs.
No. There is an indication of four provinces were targeted, only two were done.
Yeah.
In other words, your argument is that that is not adequate. I would accept it if you say that, because there is a reference there, and it comes from the past. So a little more could be said.
Okay.
That's also based on our interaction with Imarati.
Yes.
So it's a valid comment.
But then there are two aspects to the provincial one. One is the provincial system as it stands.
As a whole, and the support. I agree. Yeah.
Now, so both of those need to be done. And when he says, see, the unfortunate thing is, Chair, we ran out of time that day.
Yeah.
Because when the minister says, not one of the provinces has the capacity to support municipalities,
mm-hmm.
and then we ask, well, what can we do about that?
Yeah.
And we didn't have time to find any answer. To me, that's a priority. Because the department itself said, we're not an implementing department.
Yeah.
We're a policy department.
Yes.
So if the provinces can't implement, and they don't implement, who's going to implement?
Yeah.
So I think that's problematic. Then the second issue, Chair, is just some of the wording, actually, of the...
Keep track of your recommendations.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought is useful to incorporate in talking about the province is the provincialization of the department as they say they are going to do it. Now, in a meeting of MINMEC that I attended, I'm reporting badly to you, but that's fine. You can kill me if you like. I'll resist. The minister in the presence of MEC said that it is the second time that he hears that some of the officials have gone ahead to do things on the ground without alerting provincial and municipal leadership about their way, that they should stop doing that and so on. So in crafting in our response to that, I think our view must be that in creating that space, the priority is for those people to build the capacity of the provinces and municipalities to be able to carry out their responsibilities, so that in the way in which they function, they must be sensitive to those dynamics. So that I just wanted to say that to that part of your recommendation, I would think we should put it across that way.
Okay. No problem, Chair.
Yeah.
And then on the recommendation, the page 12, I think some of the wording needs to be changed. I mean, for example, the heading is, the committee recommends the department must. It has to do all these things as a department. It's an obligation. We're saying, go and do it. Well, the first one is, they must assist municipalities in developing their own budget. I'm not quite sure where that one comes from. I mean, there's always been this issue of part of the turnaround strategy. I mean, there is this general system, but do I recall a specific point in this one? I don't. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Second one is, they must fast-track disaster management funding. Well, of course, they can't. The point is, they have to do with the Treasury. It's Treasury that said no, we object as Treasury to having a swimming pool full of money sitting there waiting for somebody to use at some stage. Because the proposal always was, they were agreeing with it. In fact, they were happy to do that, but they couldn't do it because Treasury stopped them. So they've got to say they must do it. We have to say that maybe they need to engage with Treasury to see whether it's feasible.
But that's what we said in the meeting.
Yeah, but doesn't that get?
The minutes of the meeting, I would imagine that we said, they with Treasury.
Yes.
We even made an example of long-standing disaster management fund that was agreed to but had not been paid off.
That's the
formulation of the recommendation.
Yeah. It's just wording.
Yeah.
The third bullet says they must consider improving the funding for the commission. Now, as I recall, Chair, when the commission came here, they were unable to hold the annual general conference because they didn't have money for it.
Mm.
So why? And it's statutory, it's an obligation, they have to do it. So why must the department consider improving it? Why can't we say improve the funding to enable them to perform their jobs?
Yeah,
so I asked a question to the department the other day. I said, is the commission able to do its job? The answer was yes, everything's hunky-dory. It's actually the people also ever got from Elroy. And then lastly, Chair, I don't know why the reviewing the funding formula is like an add-on at the end. We can do all these lists of things and then we must further recommend that. Why is it part of the other ones? Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? All right, let's proceed. the issues there that you can usefully bring into this report? Okay. So if you have ideas, send them through, so that what comes next time is the final version that we will adopt, or whatever the case will be. So we'll finalize it at that point. And then that will be the last time when we do that. Yeah. What's this man? Okay, so we will do that and see how we formulate some of those recommendations as well, as discussed and suggested here. Yeah. I see you even included the propaganda of James here, visually in the way he said it.
She could see it with good sense.
Sorry? No, but I thought that you must also do it provide the response of the minister to it. The minister didn't disagree with that, but his response is very important, so that we put it across to say his response, mixing the two, having noted the following thing, this is what was agreed would happen, and so and put, not put it here as if it was not discussed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it was discussed, there was a response, and we must find a way in which we incorporate that response in our evaluation of the comment. Okay. Yeah.
Just a small thing. I'm just looking at the table of contents. You've got 1 to 9, and each of them has substance attached to them in the report. You go to item 5 on page 11. There's a chapter heading, consideration of reports of Committee on Public Accounts. You go to page 11, and you see one line, and it says, the public responded to issues raised.
Yeah.
So
I thought what you should do is to talk to Gordy. Have you seen what their story is?
And Duto with the next one.
Sorry?
And Duto also with AG.
Yeah.
The response should be slightly more
add a couple of details to that, to that language there that speaks to what the issues were, how they have been responded to, and so on. I hear the members of the what is it called? SCOPA.
Mm-hmm.
Actually saying that no, this time we are happy. It was a relief to get such unambiguous, clear responses to our questions. This time we are happy, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
They said to me. But I would like to see evidence in writing of their own recording of the matter. It would be useful to find a way in which we do it, and so on. And I think the other thing that I forget, the way in which we expressly said we are writing to the commission, Public Service Commission, to request them to look into the staff practices at the department with a view to helping us deal with the expectation for the staff in the department to have high morale and so on. So that's the way I thought we it's there. It's a bit confusing that you're saying public to engage the Public Service Commission. We expressly said we in the committee, in the presence of the minister, we agreed that that's a line. Presence of the minister is my own addition. I'm not saying you should add it. That we agreed that we would write to the Public Service Commission to look at into the area of staffing in the department. And the reasons were that we addressed that thing in the previous year. It seems to be present now, and so we need to find an objective resolution of that matter going forward. So the Public Service Commission will be a useful player there. This is their forte. Okay. Members, I think if that's the understanding, let's agree that our next meeting will be to adopt the report. It will be circulated in advance so that you can look at it. When we come to the meeting, we can then adopt the report. Thank you very much. But here's a story here. I've been told that my boss here didn't want you to let you know that
is it for chairpersons or members?
The joint committee of chairpersons draft agenda. Okay, this is just for your information. The NANCOP roadshow on the Auditor General's policy outcomes.
What about the portfolio committee? What is it on portfolio committee?
Which one?
There's nothing said portfolio committee.
On the Auditor General. No, this one is for this committee of chairpersons. At this meeting. This is what will be discussed. Okay, explain. The Auditor General's roadshows, the outcomes of those roadshows.
So why are they sending me a notice to us?
What do you mean?
Well, there's a notice of the meeting, and I'm a member of the portfolio committee, so I'm receiving this as a member of the committee.
Yes.
You mean they're expecting me to come to this on Friday?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Chair, I have put in our apology. James and I are not going to be able to do anything. We have our breakaway.
Okay.
Friday
and Thursday. All right. Peter has got no interest.
No, I've got another committee meeting. Quarterly consultative forum on Friday as well.
Okay. All right. Okay, what's left? Okay, thank you very much, members. Enjoy water, juice, and whatever is left of the food. Thank you very much.
Copious quantity.
The what?
Copious quantity.
Yeah. How do you like that? That's a beautiful one. Yeah.
Do I write it this way here?
Don't. Just. Right in your head.
Going on.